Warning, this podcast may contain graphic violence, sexual themes, and bad language. If our language offends you, we apologize, but we do not give a fuck. Be mindful of your kids listening.
The Evil Never Dies Podcast.
Welcome back to the Evil Never Dies podcast, episode 208, Carl.
Yep.
And we're going to try something a little new this week.
You are?
I said we are.
Then you are. Now you're taking credit for shit. Let me tell y'all, people, Brett is being a total dinko tonight. I almost quit the entire show because he's being a dinko.
We had technical problems, and it went downhill from there.
And then Brett started making fun of technical problems and turning his mic off, and yeah. You get the real shit on this show. We don't sugarcoat nothing.
I was just playing, man. I went a little overboard, I admit it.
As long as you admit it, that's fine.
I fucked with him a little too hard tonight.
Well, I mean, if our shit was working, it would have been different. But then I thought I had it working and you had your mic off. That was like, what? I was about ready to just give up.
But anyway, we're going to try something different, like sort of like, I guess, like a free for all. But we're actually going to have subjects this time around. So here's
what we came up with. So we have liked to do the free for all since we were just only on podcast only. And it always appeared to be successful and liked until we went to YouTube and we noticed that the viewership on these things were like minimal to none. So we changed free for all. Brett renamed it to what? Some dumb shit.
I don't know.
And F something. I don't know. It got worse. So I get feedback that people enjoy hearing us just talk random stuff, but I think we don't get as many viewers because we don't have a subject matter. So we're going to stick to about three or four subjects. And then when we actually publish a show, we will put Brett named it Evil Talk, which we're getting that from Real Talk, which is our show with the Tragedy of Cinema. Hold on. I got heartburn. The Tragedy of Cinema podcast, and us do the Real Talk every couple months, but we've been delayed. So this is going to be called Evil Talk, and it will have a few subjects, and we'll ramble on about them.
Yes, we will. Ramble we will. And drink. You're drinking lime tonight too, huh?
Unfortunately, it's giving me heartburn, I think.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's not good. Is it too used to that cinnamon stuff?
I don't know.
But anyway, speaking of Jimbo.
Yes, speaking of Jimbo from the Tragedy of Cinema podcast.
Yeah, he sent us a very much appreciated present, each one of us. So, yeah.
Jimbo is way too good to us, and I don't know why, because we're just basically just some dumbasses or something. I don't know why anybody wants to be nice to us.
I know.
Jimbo is.
We do appreciate it, though.
Yeah, we definitely appreciate it.
What we are showing you is a signed copies of...
Personalized, too.
Personalized. Of Don Coscarelli's book,
True Indie, Life and Death in Filmmaking.
And Yeah, it's hardback. Jimbo, man, you're the man, brother.
Definitely. It is much appreciated. And again, I don't know why my people are nice to us, because we just some dumbasses, really.
I'm going to have to actually get me some new reading glasses and start reading this.
Yeah, I looked through it, kind of glanced through it, and I haven't read it yet because I haven't had no time for nothing. I'm still living in the Texas Ranger World Series, as you can see by my outfit. I guess when you win the World Series, you earn the right to wear the Ranger gear all year long now. I don't know. It's got some really good pictures in it, you know, from his younger days. Of course, some Phantasm stuff. Pictures of Mike Baldwin when he was a kid. All kinds of good pictures in this thing.
Have you ever seen that movie? What is it? Kenny and Company?
No, I never did see it.
It's actually a pretty good show. Actually, I liked it.
But Don Cascarelli actually covers, it looks like, everything that he's ever been a part of. All the way to, what was that thing called?
What
Masters of Horror. That was show that they put out about 10 years ago.
John Carpenter and Romero.
Carpenter, and I think George Romero, and of course,
Toby Hooper.
Yeah, so everybody did like a little segment, and then he even goes into that. Phantasm, the last one, Raver. So this covers his whole life. Of course, a large part of his life was the Phantasm series, so I'm going to be trying to read this here in the next month or so.
I'm going to have to look and see if it's on audiobook, because I'll listen to it at work. For sure.
But any fans of the Phantasm series, on the back, he gets praised by J.J. Abrams, Rob Zombie, Bruce Campbell. So a lot of people really, really appreciate Don for all of his work and indie stuff. Don't know that he ever made a big budgeted movie except probably Phantasm 2, which Universal threw a big budget on.
Beastmaster
was pretty big budgeted, I guess. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if it was a huge budget.
And Jimbo and Kyle just covered that on their show too, not too long ago.
I'm behind on everything. I have not caught up from the Halloween. I'm about 2 months behind on everything. So, like I said, I'm still living in the baseball world, and I'm finally getting into football halfway through the season. So it's been a really, really busy year, but I'm behind on Tragedy of Cinema podcast, and I'm behind on everything in general.
Yep. So anyway,
I do want to hear that Beastmaster episode. That would be fun.
So anyway, thanks, Jimbo. Appreciate it, brother. And thank you to Don Coscarelli for saying boy to me. Boy. Yeah.
He told me the funeral is about to begin, sir. And, you know, another note, if you're listening to this, Jimbo, when Coscarelli and the bunch was at Texas Frightmare Weekend, he was the one that I did not get any kind of autographs or anything with. So I had everybody but him, including Angus Scrimm. So this actually finishes my collection of Phantasm autographs. So much appreciated on that end as well.
Awesome.
I now have an autograph from all of the main cast and crew of the Phantasm series, which I've talked about many times on the show, is really what got me interested in horror movies. And apparently I really did fix our problem, because it's not happening again.
No, it's not. Thank God.
Well, there's all kinds of weird shit going on. Apple's done all these updates. And again, like I said, I'm like a month behind, and Apple finally started pushing the update today. So I updated the computer, the Mac, about a week ago. I did the iPhone and the iPad today, and I noticed everything on Mac now is at the bottom of the screen, which is annoying as shit. Everything used to be in the top, and now they've moved everything to the bottom. So, yeah. But I'm thinking some of these updates must have fucked our shit up.
Yeah, well, it fucked mine up because I lost all my ringtones and all
I've
that.
Rebooted everything, and everything seems to be working now. But yeah, again, thanks for the book. If you're interested in Don Coscarelli's career, pick this up
for
and
sure.
Give it a read.
For
our
sure.
Phantasm fans or Bubba Hoteep fans.
Yep. All right.
Well, that's some. We've been meaning to bring that up, but last week we were pretty booked. We barely got a midweek out of the way.
Yeah. Issues, lots of issues. Last month has sucked for me. So
yeah, Brett's had a hell of a time with vehicles. I had a hell of a time with vehicles. So I guess that subject matter too, which we probably won't put on the notes, is I've had my escape for 14 years. It's never gave me any trouble. It just hit 240,000 miles, and it's
140.
What did I say? 140,000, and it's started to kind of go to shit a little bit. And I've been spending money on it, lots of money on it, and I've decided it was time to get another vehicle, and got one.
Yeah,
we got rid of the death trap, which was the 1998 Taurus, which was our backup car that Lisa would use to go to the store the doctor's in. We kept the Escape, and now we have a Bronco, which Brett says is a piece of shit.
Oh, no. It's not bad.
You said it in the driveway today. Look at that piece of shit.
I was just busting your balls again, man. That's what I do, man.
Before TJ left, I was about to turn around and look at your Toyota and say, what are you calling a piece of shit? Does that thing even got any brakes on it? But you left too quick before I could say that.
I was
going to give you shit, too.
We need to take that fucker down on the river and do some four-wheeling.
What, your Toyota?
No, your truck.
I'm talking about your Toyota.
Hey, it runs, man. It runs great. Just, it's old, man. It's got 200. Well, it's 2017, but it's got 260,000 miles.
That's where I got the 200,000 miles from. It's your vehicle, not mine.
That's my vehicle, yeah.
But the good news on the Escape, son-in-law Matt actually took it for a week, and he's got it all up and running. So we got a fully functional Escape, a fully functional Bronco. So we got vehicles at the Count Karabi Museum residence now that run very, very, very well.
Oh, good.
You got your shit fixed finally?
Yeah, I just need some other odds and ends done on it. Shocks, struts, you know.
Well, that's easy. Yeah. The brake thing was the one that scared me on you.
Yeah, it ended up being something fucking weird, too, what was wrong with it. So
yeah, but at least it wasn't nothing
major, yeah, like I thought was wrong with it.
Yeah.
So anyway,
so that's been some of our backups is dealing with vehicles.
Yep, for sure.
Ever since the Rangers won the World Series, everything's been really weird. I guess that's what happens when you win the World Series. It turns the whole world weird. I would never know because they haven't won one in 60 years. Ever. And now we have a weird world. And guess
what? It's
been
weird, man. What are you talking about?
Selling a Robert the Doll elf now for Christmas.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I seen that.
You can have your own Robert the Doll elf for Christmas.
Yeah, I seen that. A little pricey for me, though.
So shout out to Robert the Doll and his elf, and I wish Robert lots of success.
All right, what's our next subject?
Have you ever heard of Huggy Wuggy?
Huggy Wuggy.
We now are...
Boy, ain't he cute.
Whoa, what happened?
Oh, Jesus and baby Jesus.
Huggy Wuggy's evil. So,
Huggy Wuggy.
Taking the grandkids today to get a Pikachu plush mellow or something. Well, I look and I'm like, hey, what's that thing? And Madeline's like, oh my God, no, that's Huggy Wuggy. He's evil. He bites everybody. I'm like, what? And they're trying to explain what a Huggy Wuggy is. And I'm like, well, I'm buying the damn thing. I have no idea what a Huggy Wuggy is, but now we got one. I think he's on some video game.
Yeah, that's funny. Huggy Wuggy.
He's going to Huggy Wuggy the microphone.
The new mascot of the Evil Never Dies podcast.
Well, I found some information about a Huggy Wuggy. I'm going to read it.
Okay.
Here's the deal with Huggy Wuggy and what parents need to know. And it shows a picture of Huggy Wuggy with his teeth. A Wisconsin sheriff is warning parents about a video game character that could scare children if viewed. Oh. Over the weekend, the Lafayette County Sheriff's Office released several pictures of a character named Huggy Wuggy, warning parents the character could lead young children to be exposed to non-age appropriate themes. This must be some of the woke shit. Because when I was a kid, if you saw a horror movie, I'd just get over it, you know? Yeah. Now you can't expose children to Huggy Wuggy. Based on the sheriff's office post, the primary concern for parents should be videos that seem child-friendly but are not, particularly created for fans of the game Poppy Playtime. A quick search on YouTube reveals several Huggy Wuggy-themed videos that could seem child-appropriate but are not. The Huggy Wuggy looks innocent but turns nightmarish. Huggy Wuggy contains offensive language, alcohol use, blood, stabbings, decapitations, bloody aftermaths of a car crash, murder, and attempted murder. So, Huggy Wuggy awesome. Is not intended for young children, according to the Some Motherfucking Academy. Playtime, Poppy Playtime is not recommended for children below the age of 8. So,
eight. Only 8?
Only 8.
I guess 8 and you're supposed to be desensitized to that shit?
By 8 already? You can look at Puggy. Almost called him Puggy Wuggy. Huggy Wuggy. Parents are urged to remain aware of what your children are watching, and my screen just went blank.
Oh my God.
Do not watch videos featuring Huggy Wuggy. So, it seems to me like Huggy Wuggy is much like the Evil Never Dies podcast. Misunderstood and miscast. So I'm glad I own a Huggy Wuggy now. He's got a girlfriend named Kissy Missy or something like that.
The perfect mascot for the Evil Never Dies podcast for sure.
Well, the kids were trying to explain it. I thought it was a YouTube show, but apparently it's a video game. I'm going to go look on my PlayStation app and see if they can get the Huggy Wuggy game.
That'd be cool. Making me sorry.
So we now have a Huggy Wuggy. And he's hugging the mic. He's blocking the.
He's a good spit blocker.
Yeah, he is. He's also blocking out the stupid pumpkin now, it looks like. And he's also blocking out old dude here. We need to raise him up, I guess. Hey. Shit, stuff's falling. And look, we have a Gene Simmons up here now. See him?
A Gene Simmons?
Yeah. We just knocked Captain Spaulding in the floor, though. Oh, well, sorry, Captain Spaulding. You got knocked in the floor.
Speaking of Kiss.
Well, that's our next subject. Paul Stanley is sick with the flu, and Kiss has had to cancel 3 shows now. 2 in Canada, and I think it was in Tennessee, something like that. Man. So I guess everybody's talking shit about Kiss, and conspiracy theories are loose. So Paul posted a picture of himself hooked up to an IV saying, hey, I'm trying to get well here. You know, I can't perform.
He's probably getting pumped full of all the good vitamins and shit, man, for sure. But
the so-called, and I say so-called, Kiss fans are talking some major shit because the man's sick, which I think is crap.
Yep.
Especially the Ace Frehley crowd. They're really enjoying this.
Well, for one thing, he's what? 73, 74 years old.
He's 73.
And, he needs to take care of himself. He's old, you know.
Well, and you know, they're on the last stretch of their, they've been doing this tour since COVID. They had to cancel it for 2 years. They've made up every date that got canceled during COVID. I'm talking about every date. And now they're talking crap because they said they're not making up these 3 dates that were missed. Well, they're retiring on December 2nd. That's it. As far as this version of Kiss, I don't know what's going to come in the future. You know, there's a lot of talk of them maybe like having replacement members go on tour, you know, as like a stage production or something. All I know is Gene Simmons, Paul Stanley, Eric Singer, and Tommy Thayer are done as of December 2nd. So there will be no makeup dates. They've toured most of these cities at least twice anyway. I mean, I would have been really sad if they had missed the Fort Worth show, but I would have understood. I mean, just like the Wasp fiasco, yeah. We didn't get to see Wasp because of the stupid venue. They did a second leg, and they actually added Dallas on purpose because we missed it. And then Bruce Blackie got sick with his back. Hurt his back and had to have surgery, and they had to cancel the tour. I was upset about it, but, I mean, the man's an older dude, and he's had back issues for a long time. You can't get mad about stuff like
Blackie's
that.
Blackie's what, 67, 68?
And I didn't say a word. I remember texting you, said, look like the show's not going to happen. You know, Blackie's going to, you know, he was sitting in a chair in Europe trying to do the show.
Yeah, I had a feeling that it wasn't going to happen anyway. I didn't hold my breath, you know.
But I'm not mad at Blackie Lawless because he hurt his back.
I know.
You know, I know there's times that some of these bands, especially in the 80s, would cancel shows because of poor ticket sales, and they would make up excuses. Well, yeah. There's no excuses on this Kiss thing. I see every picture from every show, every night they post of themselves with the crowd behind them. And every one of these shows is sold the fuck out. And these are not small venues. They're playing big arenas on this last leg of the end of the road tour.
You know who is good for canceling them shows like that? Always. What? Sharon Osbourne canceling Ozzy's shows.
Ozzy would get canceled a lot, and it would be some bullshit.
Yeah,
because he was drunk or high or whatever.
Yeah, we'd be on the way. We were on the way one time to go see him, and we heard on the radio, Ozzy canceled. It's like we're halfway there, you know. We're driving 2 hours. We're an hour in, you know.
And, well, you know, back in the day, George Jones, the country music legend, was known as No Show Jones because he canceled shows on a nightly basis.
Oh yeah,
he even wrote a song about it.
They called it
No Show Jones. Yeah. So this is nothing new in the music business. People not being able to perform either by illness, drugs or alcohol, or poor ticket sales. But in the case of Kiss, that's not what's happening here, people. Paul was actually mentioned when he was in Fort Worth, almost said Dallas, but they played Fort Worth. When we had the sound check, he said, I'm not going to sing tonight. On the sound check, I'm going to save my voice because, you know, I've been having some issues. Actually said he took a flu shot and he'd been feeling kind of bad ever since. So that was in the Fort Worth show, which was back in October. So I think Paul's been having some issues, you know, for a bit here, and it just probably got too much for him. And now Paul has missed some shows in the past, and they actually performed as a 3-piece. But I don't think they wanted to rip the fans off.
Yeah.
So I commend Kiss for doing the right thing. I mean, I hate that people miss shows. I would have been upset if I missed it. But like I said, I missed Wasp twice. Once because of a crooked promoter and once because Blackie Lawless was injured. So you got to deal with it. Taylor Swift canceled a show in South America due to the heat. You know, I mean,
from a fan dying. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I know a lot of these performers are millionaires, and she may be a billionaire. I don't know, but they got to worry about themselves sometimes. I mean, shit. I don't want people talking. People love talking shit about Kiss anyway. I don't know why. If they're Kiss has enough fans, all these fly by night. And I'll probably piss a few people off. These dudes that listened to Kiss in 1977 and are still mad that Peter Criss and Ace Frehley are gone. you're just gonna have to deal with it. It's it. They came back, and they left again, and Kiss moved on. So, you know, I feel happy that we have Kiss and we got Ace Frehley, and I saw Kiss, and then I saw Ace Frehley. What was it? 2 years ago, they were almost like two or three nights apart. So I'm happy whenever you get a situation like this. Ace is putting on some good shows and some good albums. Kiss is still, I'm telling you, man, that Kiss show was probably the best concert I've ever seen in my entire life in October of this year. That's just the truth, right? Straight as it could say. And I've seen some pretty poor Kiss shows in the last 10 years. Honestly, this time they were clicking on all cylinders. And when I saw Ace actually outdid Alice Cooper, which I didn't think could be done. I enjoyed Ace more. So these guys are all in their 70s and they're all performing to the best of their abilities. And I commend them, Ace and Kiss, for doing the best job they can. Peter, you know, he's kind of retired now, and I wish Peter all the best too.
Ace has got a new album coming out next week.
Ace has a new album coming out. Bruce Kulick still on the road with Grand Funk, doing well for himself. So, unfortunately, Peter and Ace said they will not be at the final two Kiss shows by their choice. You know, Ace already said that if they paid him like $5 million, he'd show up. And his exact words, "I'll do it for the money, but I'm not doing it for the fans." And I thought that was kind of shitty of Ace to say, but you know what? Motherfucker's honest, and I like that. I would rather an artist be honest with me than bullshit me. Pay me or I'm not doing it. That's honesty. I like it.
Yeah.
I don't know if Bruce Kulick's going to make any kind of appearance. Nobody wants Vinnie Vincent there. Sorry, dude. Nobody gives a fuck. And Mark St. John and Eric Carr, you know, are passed away, so they'll be there in spirit, I'm sure. But that's my Kiss rant. You got anything to add on that?
Just that people need to, you know, they're old, man. What, Gene's 75, Paul's 73? No. Well,
Tommy Thayer just turned 62, I think.
You know, they're all getting up there in age, you know. They're lucky they're still doing what they're doing.
I'm telling you, man, and I know everybody thinks I kiss his ass, which sometimes I do, but I'm honest. I've talked shit about Kiss a many a time. Honestly, as a kid who liked Kiss in the 80s, I thought they did Bruce Kulick and Eric Singer shitty with the reunion tour, the way they handled everything. And I made it known. I mean, I wasn't on the internet saying it, but everybody knew. I just thought they did Bruce and Eric real shitty. They basically, at the time, Kiss was trying to act like the 80s never happened, and that basically Kiss had ceased to exist and had come back again after being gone for all these years. And that's sort of how they promoted it, and it pissed me off. I thought it was bullshit. They have finally re-recognized the 80s and added Heaven's on Fire and Tears Are Falling and the entire Creatures of the Night catalog just about back to the fold. And I mentioned that because Ace or Peter, neither one performed on Creatures of the Night, even though Ace's face is on it. So I've talked shit about Kiss before, and I will talk it again if I feel like it's due. So don't think I'm just randomly kissing Kiss's ass. I mean, I thought Paul was a dick for basically saying, "Well, if Ace and Peter come back, we wouldn't be Kiss, we would be Piss." I'm like, you know what, Paul, you're a dick for saying that. You know, don't stir the kettle. Peter and Ace are gone, and Paul loves to stir the kettle. Gene, not so much anymore. But then Paul and Ace will talk shit about each other and I mean, like, totally trash each other. And then the next minute, Paul's on Ace's last solo album. Or it was his first, what was it, a cover album. They did Fire and Water from, was it The Who, I think? The Who's before my time. So there they are doing a video. Ace Frehley, Paul Stanley, and they're, like, hugging each other. You think we got it? We still got it. So That was like a month after they trashed themselves all over the internet. So there's still a brotherhood there between those guys that'll never cease.
And plus there was probably money involved.
Probably. But there's some people you'll encounter in your life. You can get pissed at them. You can get mad at them. And the next minute, you don't even remember what you're mad about. And I sort of think the KISS guys are like that. And it wouldn't surprise me if fucking Ace Frehley and Gene Simmons don't do a tour together once KISS is officially retired. It wouldn't surprise me at all. And that's just speculation.
Speculation.
I don't think Paul's going to be doing much. I don't know. Paul's not been in the best of health, even though he's physically the best looking. Yeah. I mean, Paul's still got muscles and shit.
Yeah.
But his voice, everybody knows Paul's voice has not been strong for a while now.
I think Eric covers him a lot.
Eric does cover it a lot. And, you know, I'm there are rumors that they are lip syncing and shit. It's just not happening. I mean, I've watched videos of every one of these concerts from this last tour. And inside information said that they were having to take some steroids for their voices. If you're lip syncing, you're not doing that. And plus, Paul sounded like shit on some of these past tours. He sounded better on this one. If you're going to lip sync, you're going to make it sound a lot better than that. You're not going to make it sound like shit. So,
yeah, for sure.
Just, you know, if you're a KISS fan, you just need to be happy that this band's been around for 50 years and whatever incarnation they existed in, whether it was the 80s when Paul was wearing pink leotards and sequins, or now, you know, a 70-year-old man who's having some health issues with the flu and can't perform right now. Just be lucky that your band has been around for 50 years.
Exactly.
I wish the shit, you know, like Pantera had have been able to stay around that long. I know they're back on tour without Vinny and Daryl, but just an example.
You know, there's only a handful of bands that have actually stuck around that long, you know? Not many of them.
Not many.
It seems like all the ones that have stuck around was the late 60s, early 70s when they started, you know? The ones that are still around, you know?
I mean, there's still a few of the 80s, you know, glam bands that still perform, but like Winger, for example, they're off doing other shit, and they get together by like every 4 or 5 years and they'll do a Winger album. Maybe, I think it's becoming like every 8 or 9 years now. They'll do an album and do a tour, but it's not their main, you know, income anymore. There's just name how many bands can sell out an arena in from the 80s or 90s or even the 70s in the year 2023, and there's not that fucking many.
Exactly.
We've said that before. Probably Metallica. They can sell out a stadium. We know that. Probably Iron Maiden. Well, we know they can. Even Judas Priest has problems selling out some of the bigger venues without some help.
Yep.
Megadeth usually have to bring a band along with them.
Yep. Scorpions are going to be in Vegas.
Are they doing a residency? Or?
Yeah, they're going to do a residency in Vegas. That would be cool.
More and more of these bands probably need to look at doing the residency thing.
Well, they're old too. They survived
touring.
They're all old too.
Well, shit, they may be older than KISS.
Well, they've been around longer than KISS.
They have been around longer than KISS.
Started out like 65, I think. Rudy Schenker, man. 65 is when he first started a band up.
It is amazing. Yes. Klaus still sounds the same too.
Yep.
I mean, it's amazing. But these bands aren't, you know, people can make fun of KISS for being on a second farewell tour, but I guarantee you, they're 70 years old. There ain't going to be no more Gene, Paul, and makeup on tour. And I'm not saying this is the end of KISS, and neither are they. They may exist in some, they're still going to be, you know, products and
oh, there'll be some marketing. Sort of form.
KISS is immortal. They're never going to go away. But Gene and Paul are at the end of the road. You know, when they did that first farewell tour, they were at the end of the road with Ace and Peter. And that's why they said they were going to quit, because they did not think they could perform with Ace and Peter anymore. and they were ready to give up the entire thing. You know, they're not fake like Motley Crue, Nikki Six. You know, well, we won't ever, when we retire, we're signing it in blood. This ain't going to happen. We don't, you know, we've seen Kiss do it. We've seen this band do it. We're done. Then the motherfuckers not only lie and come back, then they fire Mick Mars.
Get who? John Five on guitar?
John Five, who I like. I like John Five. I won't talk shit good. About him at all. Good dude. Good hired guitar
gun,
player.
Hired gun situation right
there. But he's
there.
A hired gun situation. And I heard he say something about he wished he was still with Rob Zombie at this stage. So I don't know if he should have slipped that out or not, but he did. And Vince Neil cannot perform.
No, he should give
he's shot. Answer. He's been shot. So that's my Kiss rant for the.
Got to give it to him for at least giving her the old college try, though. You know, fuck. But I would be too embarrassed. Just all the videos of them all and stuff.
It's you know,
just...
if the guys were dead fucking broke, it would be different.
Yeah.
And I don't want to call out anybody's name because, you know, we're starting to get a little bit of an audience here. And I don't want to offend anybody too much. But there is a band from the 80s, which I was a big fan of. And they could no longer deal with their lead singer. So after numerous times, they got rid of him and moved on. But he still performs. Let's just say he was part of burning a club down in Rhode Island. If you know who I'm talking about. Well, he's an embarrassment right now.
Yeah, I just watched a documentary about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like, he can't perform anymore, but he's still on the road because why? He needs the money.
Exactly.
So if they do it for the money, I can kind of look past it almost.
Great White. I'm sorry. Oh, excuse me.
If you need the money, you need the money. Motley Crue and Kiss don't need the damn money. So.
At least he's honest about it too, though. At least he's honest about it too. He's like, yeah. I'm doing it for the money. But
I don't know why Nikki gave up 6 a.m. I thought he had an outstanding band on his
hand. I love that band. I love that album. I still like album.
Yeah, it was a great band. I thought, you know, he's finally got what he needs. Because I know Nikki was never happy with Vince as a singer because he couldn't sing anything but a certain amount of songs. That's why they fired Vince and brought Corabi in. And I thought he's finally got it. He's got a fucking badass guitar player. You know, who's not Mick, who, you know, Mick has a disease. He's dying slowly. But it's not fair to fire him out of Motley Crue. That was bullshit, and I will never forgive Nikki Six for that, ever.
That's bullshit.
But I thought 6 a.m.
the way
was
they
the
went
shit.
About it. The way they went about it, too.
Nick's going to have the last laugh because he's got a solo album coming out.
I bet it's fucking badass, too.
He's been working on it forever.
Good.
Well, let's see. So we'll stop Kiss and we'll talk about another guy that's not the best singer anymore, and that would be David Lee Roth. He's in the news again, but for different reasons. So what you hear about this? Anything?
Well, you know, Sammy and Michael Anthony and whoever the other band guys are in the, they've decided to do a tribute to Van Halen. What are they going to call it?
I can't remember.
Well, anyway, they were on Howard Stern last week and promoting it. They're going to go
on the tour. Yeah.
And they played.
Well, Sammy and Howard have been buddies for a long time.
Yeah.
There's a friendship there. He was friends with Eddie as well. And Howard sometimes stirred the shit between Sammy and Eddie. And remember, David Lee Roth replaced Howard Stern when he quit and went to Sirius XM.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so there's a lot of history with Howard and the Van Halen guys. But, yeah, they announced they're doing this tribute tour, and they got who is it on the drums?
I don't know. I don't know who's on drums and guitar.
I can't think of who they got on the drums. It's somebody real. It's Jason Bonham. That's who it is.
Jason Bonham. Yeah.
And Joe Satriani is going to play guitar.
Joe Satriani.
I couldn't think of Jason Bonham for some reason. I think he's been playing with Sammy and Michael Anthony for a few years, but that's sort of a weird.
What's that? Chickenfoot?
Chickenfoot. Yeah. But yeah, they got Satriani is going to play guitar, and there's a lot of controversy there, you know. If I had to pick somebody, would I pick Steve Vai? Yeah, I probably would have.
Yeah.
Nobody can replace Eddie Van Halen. And no. I remember when Eddie died, I made a comment on Facebook that sort of went viral. It wasn't about Sammy. It wasn't about Dave. It was about Eddie. It's Eddie's band. It's Eddie's band, and it was Alex's band. It was the brothers. And nobody can ever replace Alex or Eddie ever in the history of the world. But I don't have a problem with Sammy Hagar and Michael Anthony going out and doing their own tribute.
No, I don't.
I wouldn't have picked Satriani. I don't like Satriani as well as other people do. I like Steve Vai better.
Yeah, I'm not a real big fan of Satriani. He's an awesome guitar player.
He is. But, will he do justice? Probably. I mean, shit.
Love the Surfing with the Alien album. That's an awesome.
How many people could even try to do justice to Eddie's shit? There's probably five people on the planet. I don't know.
Well, Satriani's got a totally different style, though.
It's no different than Zach Wilde replacing Dimebag Darrell and Pantera.
Yeah, it's sort of the same situation, you know.
Yeah.
Zach
is fucking a genius. I love Zach Wilde, but he's not Dimebag. Yeah. He has a different style of playing.
Yeah.
I mean, even Ozzy said, Sharon or somebody replaced Zach on one of the Ozzy solo albums and said, Ozzy came out and said it, everything bloody sounds like Black Label Society now that I do. So I want to sound like Ozzy again, not Black Label. And Zach was like, I understand, boss. You know, we'll let you do your own thing. So Satriani replacing Eddie in this tribute is sort of iffy to me, but somebody's got to do it. But there's a but to this. Sammy Hagar, in his infinite wisdom on the Howard Stern show, said, I'm inviting everybody. I'm inviting Alex and I'm inviting David Lee Roth. All y'all come out and do part of this tribute. So did Sammy say this being a smart ass, or did he mean it?
I don't know.
Well, guess what? David Lee Roth accepted.
Yeah.
He said, I'll be there. I'm on board. I want to do it. So David Lee Roth is going to join the tour, right? Right?
Sammy retracted.
Oh, no. So Sammy's like, no, I don't want you on tour with me. Fuck you. So now I feel like Sammy Hagar is a dick. And I'm kind of pissed off at Hagar for this.
That is a bit of a dick move.
Everybody who knows me knows that I was always more of a Sammy guy than a Dave guy. But that's a dick move. Don't fucking invite somebody and then tell them, no, you can't do it. That is a dick move. And it's such a dick move, I might not even go to that show now because of it.
Ooh.
And I was going to go. I am not the biggest David Lee Roth fan. I think Dave's an oddball. And he's a weird man. And his voice is not good anymore. But goddamn, David Lee Roth was the greatest front man maybe in the history of rock and roll. Period. Yeah,
exactly.
Period.
Yeah.
You know.
He led it to a T for sure.
David Lee Roth said, Sammy Hagar throws a party. David Lee Roth is the party. And never have more true words been spoken. Exactly. And again, I'm a Sammy Hagar guy. I've loved Hagar since the 80s after he left Montrose. I loved Hagar. I still love Hagar, but don't fucking invite somebody to your goddamn show. Don't throw the party and then not let somebody come to the party if you're going to run your mouth.
Well, do you think he ran his mouth thinking, oh, they ain't never going to fucking.
I've already heard that's exactly what it was. He was
being a
running his mouth. Yeah, let's invite Alex and let's invite Dave. And he didn't think either one of them would respond. And I've also heard that a lot of people think
Dave called him out.
Dave called him out and had no intentions of doing it anyway. He just wanted Sammy to look like a dick. Well, it worked. Sammy Hagar, you look like a dick. And that's coming from a Hagar person. You look like an asshole now. A pure fucking asshole.
I'd like to, I wonder if Dave's radio show is on a podcast format, because I'd like to listen to.
I think he's doing it in Spanish now, so I don't know.
Doing it in Spanish?
Yeah. When he took over the Howard Stern show, he started doing segments in Spanish as well.
Oh, Jesus.
When did Dave get all those tattoos? Is that even real?
I don't know. Well, he was a EMT. I think he still holds a license. He's an EMT in New York City.
Yeah.
That's some crazy shit.
David Lee Roth is the strangest.
He was there in 9/11 and shit, and fucking did all kinds of shit 9/11, I guess.
David Lee Roth is one of the most interesting individuals in the history of rock and roll. He's also one of the strangest. But I must say this. That first fucking solo album he did, well, not the EP, but the actual album, Eat 'Em and Smile.
Oh, yeah, I love
that. That was goddamn genius album right
there. The videos were funny as shit. Yeah, for sure.
He had Steve Vai. He had Billy Sheen on the bass.
Yeah.
That was a grand fucking band. But you know what? None of them could work with Roth. They all ended up leaving. But anyway, so that's what we got. We got Sammy Hagar and Michael Anthony going to do a tribute to Van Halen on tour with Jason Bonham, I now remember. And
give me a glazed donut and a bottle of anything.
Yeah, I remember that. But apparently Dave will not be joining them now. I thought David Lee Roth.
Yeah, if he does, I hope he gets paid fucking good.
I thought he was retired anyway. He said, you know, he canceled his Las Vegas gig, his residency, and said he was now retired.
Really?
And here's your question. Why didn't Wolfgang Van Halen get invited to the big show? Why did Sammy not invite him?
Oh, man. I don't know.
Hagar's gotten fat and looks old as shit now anyway. Sammy's like 73 or some shit, too. He's older than Dave.
He's a beach bum from way back, man. Yeah, Sammy Hagar.
He's starting to look like it now more.
Well, he spent most of his time down there in Mexico. He's got a distillery down there. He makes his vodka. Down in Baja, somewhere down there.
Tequila.
Yeah, tequila. Yeah, that's it.
Well, anyway, so that's our Sammy Hagar, David Lee Roth rant. I think I'm Team Dave on this one. And if Dave is playing a joke on Hagar, good job, Dave.
You know, I love Sammy to death. Have since the Montrose years. Space Station number 9, dude. That's some cool shit. But, yeah, this was a dick move for sure.
It is. So, even if Dave played him, it's still a dick move. You know, even if he'd have took Dave and it didn't work out after 2 shows, and so be it. You know, Kiss tried to take David Lee Roth out on the first leg of the end of the road thing, and Dave just sort of disappeared on him. And then Gene talked shit, and Paul had to come in and sort of apologize, and then Gene's like, well, I didn't mean it like that. I'm sorry. I think he basically said that Dave had no talent anymore. Poor old Gene. He likes to stick his foot in his mouth sometimes.
He speaks his mind. That's Gene Simmons, man.
He does. He recently quit X because he wasn't happy with Elon Musk's statements.
Yeah.
Sort of anti-Israeli sounding stuff, I guess. I don't know. I just know that Gene has always been a proud member of the Twitter universe, but not anymore.
Well,
when you piss Gene off, yeah. Ain't nobody left on X but OJ Simpson, I guess. OJ's still on there.
He's always posting fucking crazy shit, dude.
Who, OJ?
Yeah, just stupid shit.
Oh, he's always talking about fantasy football, too, a lot. It's
crazy.
Everybody got mad because OJ was sitting in a bar in Buffalo at the airport doing his Twitter slash X show or whatever he does. And people were, hey, OJ. And hey there, what's up, guys? And they're like, why is this murderer allowed to be on the thing? Well, you know, guilty or not guilty, he was found not guilty by a court of law. So leave the, what can you do? I mean, they put him in prison for stealing his own shit for what, like 9 years?
Yeah, I know. That's,
I mean, what else are you going to do? I mean, do they think somebody's going to take out a hammer and beat him to death while he's sitting at the bar? I don't know, man.
It's a fucked up world, ain't it?
It is a fucked up world. I don't know, man. All these people accused of shit. I don't know who's guilty and who's not. You know, they said Bill Cosby raped everybody. I don't know.
He lured him in with them fucking pudding pops. I know.
I don't know, man. I just don't know how something happens and 40 years later you go complaining about it.
Yeah, shit. I know. Yeah, I know. That's, yeah, that's fucked up.
Bill Cosby probably did do all that, but I bet you everybody in Hollywood was doing it.
They have. Hollywood's been doing it for years.
Yeah.
Since Hollywood's been around. Look at Hitchcock. He was one of the.
Yep. Hitchcock could have been the new Bill Cosby if it had been a few years later.
Weinstein of the era, you know?
Yeah.
He had a bed in his office where he did his shit, you know? It's crazy.
Yeah. I'm just glad that we live in a world with a huggy wuggy, which is offending.
Huggy wuggy.
If he's too bad, why did I find him at Walmart for?
Yeah. Is there going to be a. Remember when they used to have record burnings and shit?
There's going to be huggy wuggy burnings.
Huggy wuggy burnings.
Look how huggy and wuggy he is, though.
I think he's cute and he looks soft. I want one.
Aw. He looks cute there. But then. Evil huggy wuggy.
Perfect.
What else you got?
I ain't got nothing, man.
I ain't got nothing either. I'm tired.
I think it's who's that behind me? Michael Myers?
It is Michael Myers.
All right, everybody. That's all we got. Let us know what you think of this episode for sure. And
please do, because we sort of dreamed this up on the last minute like we do everything.
Yep. We're just fucking around, basically, so.
We didn't really have time to watch a movie this week either, so.
No, we didn't, so.
And we were going to do an album, but we try to save the album for the midweeks more now, unless it's a really special album. But we do like to talk about music together, so these formats are good for that, too.
Yes, it is. We'll have to think up some good subjects for next time. We'll probably do these like once a month, maybe.
Look at Huggy Wuggy. He's beating his head.
You're beating him.
I'm not. He's beating himself.
Damn. Poor Huggy Wuggy.
We're doing a puppet show now. We need to get off here.
Oh, shit. All right, everybody. Thanks for watching, listening.
Sorry for the technical difficulties.
Also, probably by the time this airs, we'll hit 75,000 views.
On the YouTube.
So thank you, everybody. Appreciate it for sure.
Wish more people would subscribe.
Yeah, we're up to over 300 now.
It helps us a lot in the future for better content. So even if you turn it off after you subscribe, the alert, just subscribe. And I'm the world's worst of watching YouTube shit and not subscribing. I've gotten better at it since we're doing a YouTube show. There's a guy in Oakland that covers the Oakland Athletics baseball team and does a really cool show. And I finally subscribed to him after the Oakland A's announced they're leaving to go to Las Vegas. But yeah, subscribe to shows, not just ours. If you watch something on YouTube, it's going to help the show in the future. So I was one of those that never did, but now I do subscribe to the things I like to watch. And
here,
we're not slamming out on the people that listen on podcast side. We'll always keep that going because that's what got us to where we are. We're strong with the podcast world. But yep, we don't have reviews on Apple Music.
Yeah, that's, we need them too. We so would have probably, we'd probably have way more listeners on the audio side if we got some more reviews. So
yeah, I think at this point we've said the YouTube side is starting to win over the audio side.
But we will never get rid of the audio, so
never ever.
Never ever.
Just remember on the YouTube side, you know, we show we'll little
paying things. That $129 a year.
Like puppets and shit you get to see. $129 a year.
For the audio boom.
Oh, that's right. We do pay that much for audio boom.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
then buy the a cup of coffee that, for the Zoom's that much too a year, ain't it? Ain't it like $129?
Yeah, the Zoom is. Buy a cup of coffee if that thing still exists, I guess.
Yes, it does. I post it in every show note, so that would help out a lot, for sure.
Yeah, but just, I mean, we pay for all this ourselves.
Wish they had it where you buy us a shot.
Yeah.
I think that would go over better than, because a lot of people don't drink coffee.
Or buy us a microphone or something. I don't know.
What's wrong with our microphones?
Actually, they sound really good because it's funny. I say I don't listen to the podcast side as much. I actually listen to the show on YouTube when I take my lunch walks. So I'm listening, but if something fun comes on, I'll pull out the phone and look and see what the hell we're doing. So our mics sound great. I've listened to us versus some professional podcast YouTube shows, and our mics are good. So I wasn't really talking shit about the mics. I was just making a metaphor.
For cheap ass mics.
They do really good.
Yes, I like them. Pyle, I've been a big fan of Pyle equipment forever. So they make good stuff.
We need to put more bass in your voice, though.
More bass like this? Yeah,
that'd be better.
All right, I'll talk like this from now on.
That's a good voice right there.
All right, everybody, I think we're done here. We're fucking rambling. Adios. Stay evil, everybody.
Stay evil and don't suck.